Welcome back, everybody. Welcome if you're just joining us. My name's Maggie Dawn. You are listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. We are in the 230 block, and it is Tuesday. So it is the State Slate with Dan Schaefer, creator of the Recombobulation Area, political editor here at Civic Media. We've been talking about a number of things related to the superintendent of public instruction race, a competitive race, that general election on April 1st. If you are not sure if you are registered, you want to confirm your registration, where your polling place is, all that good stuff, go to myvote.wi.gov. Put a big circle around April 1st. Make sure you've got a voting plan and get there. We got a couple of callers on the line, Dan, so we're going to go there. Jack from Merrimack, say hello to Dan. What's your question or comment?
Hey, Dan. My comment is this, and this is not emphasized nearly enough. Musk, who is supporting the insurrectionist favoring Schimmel, he's an American citizen. He's also an immigrant. These anti-immigrant people probably realize that, but he's one of the good guys, of course. But here's the other thing that most people don't know. He's a legal citizen of not one, not the United States alone, but three countries. And when you become a citizen, and I'm sure when he was a citizen in South Africa, he did this more than one, you have to pledge allegiance to that country. So these folks that are really in favor of what he's doing need to ask themselves one interesting question. Who is he working for? Which country?
Fair point, Jack. I always say this. Billionaires have no party. They have no national allegiance. The only thing they have allegiance to is their own billions and their desire to amass ever-increasing numbers of those billions and power. Which is what makes me nervous. Billionaires make me nervous, I'm just saying. Ali from the Northwoods, say hello to Dan. What's your question or comment this afternoon?
Well, I have two comments. That as far as Brittany goes, if she can't come in and say what her change is, we have just gotten some change, haven't we? From Trump, and it's not necessarily the change that we want. You can't raise school test scores without providing proper funding for the public schools, and we need a legislature that is willing to do that, provide the funding, and not every parent lives in an area where there is a private school, or can they afford to send their child to private school?
Yeah, that's an incredibly important point. I want to get your thoughts, Dan, in just a second. One of the misnomers about choice and or vouchers is that it covers the entirety of the bill. Often they don't. So there's an issue there. And I will just say this about choice specifically. I have always advocated for income-limited choice programs. I think families of limited means deserve to have options for their children's education. What we're seeing now is those income limits have been blown away. The purpose, the reason that this issue has been co-opted by conservatives or reinvigorated by conservatives is one, you can actually direct public tax dollars away from public education into private religious-based educational systems. It's a way to fund indoctrination, if that's a word you want to use, but it's a way to fund religiously-based education. Secondly, many of these schools are profit-making enterprises. And third, I'll just say this. This is very much about attacking public schools to attack a critical coalition on the Democratic side. That has always been part of the plan. And in fact, you don't need to look very far. Grover Norquist, that drowned the baby that is government in the bathtub, that guy said in 1998, school choice reaches right into the heart of the Democratic coalition and takes people out of it. Dan, your responses to Ali from the Northwoods.
Yeah, I think, you know, so many good points there. And I think when you're thinking of the big picture, you know, one of the things you'll see in polling on when it comes to things like public education. There might be just kind of like this general malaise about like the state of public education that people might have some sort of negative views about. But when you ask people about the public school in their community, they are often very, very supportive of it. So I think it is just kind of like this, you know, it can be people, maybe it's like MPS has kind of become the avatar for this in recent years because of all the struggles of the state's largest school district. But you can see, you know, bad news about some public school district and think all public schools are a problem. But then you look in your own backyard and those public schools that in this day and age in Wisconsin are often going to referenda to try to, you know, fund certain projects and fund the schools, and people will often vote in favor of them in pretty overwhelming numbers. So I think that is, you know, an interesting piece of the larger dynamic.
Yeah, the monolithic scapegoat of, quote, public schooling is very easy to attack, especially when you have no particular plans of your own. Brittany Kinzer, I'm looking at you. You just go, oh, I did this thing, isn't working well. And everybody goes, yeah, it's not working well. Well, what are you going to do to fix it? I'm going to change things. No further commentary. I mean, this is what I'm concerned about. Folks, if you are on the phone lines, I'll keep this conversation going after the top of the hour. Please, please, please stay there. This is so very important to all of us. If we believe that children are our future, show me the money if you want some mixed metaphors and pop culture references. Thanks so much to Dan Shaver, author of The Recombobulation Area and our political editor here at Civic Media. You can catch Dan and I talking about all things Wisconsin every Tuesday at 2:30. Keep it locked. We got news, weather, and sports up next. Then I'll be back on the other side with our callers and your thoughts about public education and so much more right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.